Take RFM Dunedin with you wherever you go, with podcasts and live streaming of Primo local content. Download the Access Internet Radio app for free from Google Play and the Apple App Store.
This programme was first broadcast on RFM Dunedin and made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Mind-altering. Tight line.
Lively.
The Arts Hub Show. New.
Intelligent.
Rock and roll.
Tasty.
Delightful.
Perfect.
Gorgeous.
Clean.
Okay.
In the hub. At the hub. On the hub.
The Arts Hub Show. Welcome to Arts Hub.
Dunedin Public Art Gallery, art in the heart of the city. From exhibitions of works from the gallery's own collection to the best of local, national and international shows, there's always something to inspire and challenge. Dunedin Public Art Gallery in the Octagon is open every day from 10 till 5, with a free children's play space and a great gift shop with the best range of cards in town. Check out dunedin.art.museum for a full list of exhibitions, events and activities.
Howdy, y'all.
Howdy. Welcome.
Welcome to Arts Hub.
For another week.
For another week. Yeah. Now, it's a beautiful day, so if you're not listening to us on some headphones walking around, I think I'm going to judge you. No, just kidding. I really think you need to go outside. That's all. That's just what I need to say to everybody.
I'm always outside. If the sun's out, I have to go outside. I'm one of those people that I can't stay inside.
Yeah. I mean, I'm ostensibly one of those people too, but sometimes it gets prevented by nasty things like work.
It was a real hassle for my mum when I was young.
I bet.
Because I had to be outside all the time.
Yeah. Well, didn't they not just sort of send you out into the yard? And
I used to just come in for meals, playing cricket and all sorts of stuff.
So. Well, yeah, that's actually probably a better thing for a mum. I mean, mums probably are really irritated by kids who don't go outside, because then you've got to constantly be thinking about what they're doing.
Yeah, that's right.
Making stuff happen.
Yeah, Saoirse is the opposite.
Oh, she's an indoor guy.
She sure is.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Well, all right. She's of an age now where she can at least do stuff. Yeah, she can do her own things inside now. You don't have to worry so much.
No, that's correct.
Yeah. Anyway, well, here we are bantering away, but we have ostensibly, we hope all will go well, a guest who we're going to be speaking to on the phone in a short time, hopefully. Hopefully. I just know because I didn't call him 15 minutes ago as I was supposed to, but that's okay. And then other than that, I think we're just going to talk about all kinds of stuff.
He's
a filmmaker.
Film festival.
Yeah, his film is hopefully still set to screen. I mean, I think that's why.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one about wine. But anyway.
What's it called, A Day?
Yeah, we'll get all that sorted.
We'll get all that sorted. Very interesting. Comparing with Italy. And
oh, right.
Yeah, so sort of comparing how New Zealand stands in the international wine industry.
Surprising. It's not surprising. New Zealand always punches above its weight, but I suspect that'll be the story we'll get into as well.
The Pinot Noir story.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Okay. Well, have you got some music you want to play?
Not yet.
Why not do that while
So that's okay. That's our plan. It's a bit of a,
It's been one of those mornings.
One of those mornings. Yep. I've been in a lawyer's office all morning.
Yep. I've been having a pedicure.
Yeah.
Possibly a slightly different experience, but you got to do it. You got to do it sometimes.
Yes, you do, don't you? Yes, you do.
Well, I want to go swimming, and I felt kind of like I shouldn't with my nails looking the way they were.
It's
probably just me in my own mind. Nobody else is looking at your damn toenails, but I have to look at them.
It's actually important to look after your feet. You realize that as you get older, don't you? If you're, you know, diabetic, for example, really got to take care of your feet and nerves as well.
I guess so.
So yeah,
just like everything, as you get older, you got to look after everything.
Well, I remember when I was a kid. Actually, mum used to always tell me to look after my feet. Let me scrub my feet every night, and you know, really look after them. And it's kind of true. I've found as I've got older,
right? So you
feet
think
are more important than you realize.
Yeah, and so she was adamant about telling you that because you were outside mostly in your bare feet, probably, or something like that.
That's true.
So, yeah. No, I'm just always trying to think. Mothers have all kinds of stuff that they have to worry about that the average human doesn't, or that they think they have to worry about.
That's true.
Because it sort of looks bad on them if the kid is doing things a certain way.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I actually do feel like that myself as a parent sometimes, yes.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, well. I don't know, it seems a bit excessive sometimes, but yeah. Oh, there's some music.
Yes, what we're is all it? Get up. We're actually going to listen to Paulie Winders.
Oh.
Yeah, so Paul Winders.
I don't know him.
Well, he's a good friend of mine. You might not see. He used to be in the Verlaines many years back, sort of from about 94 till 97 he was in the Verlaines.
I did see the Verlaines at some point in those years.
He would have been playing then.
Okay, well, there you go. Let's hear
it. It was on the album, what's the name of the album actually? I've got it at home, Verlaines' album with a cow on the front.
Oh, the cow? I don't know.
It's a red album with a cow on the front.
I'm thinking the one I had for a while was way up there, but the one I had on a record, but that was later, probably.
Right? Earlier, that's a 94.
Oh, okay.
Yep, with the purple, yeah.
Well, it's a big sky.
Yes, yeah, big sky, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So, here we go.
Paul.
Hey, we're back.
So tell us quickly, what was that song?
That song was Paul Winders and The Goodness, and it was Dotted Line.
Oh, great. I like it very much.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought you'd like cool stuff.
Yeah. Well, hey, we have a guest, we hope, on the
yes.
line.
Yes. Can you hear
Simon?
Us?
Hi,
hello?
Simon.
Oh, yeah, you're here.
Hey, the system works. So happy. I'm Tanya. That's Barrett's over there.
Great.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah, so, yeah, welcome, Simon. You're here to talk about your film, obviously.
Yeah, which is
indeed
at the International Film Festival.
Yeah, and what's the name of your film?
A Seat at the Table.
A Seat at the Table.
Nice. A bit oblique. Could be a lot of things, but in fact, it's a documentary, yeah, about wine.
It is a documentary about wine. It's about where New Zealand is in the world of fine wine. France has been making wine for 900 years. We've been doing it for 40 years.
Exactly.
Have we caught up?
Well, yeah.
In a sense, I guess you're more of a expert than me, but yeah, in a sense, we've caught up, haven't we? We've caught up in terms of our industry and exporting and everything like that, but we're producing a different variety, aren't we?
Well, I mean, one of the things, the whole point of the film really was that 95% of all the great vines in New Zealand are French, and all the varietals we make are French.
Mm-hmm.
But they've had an 850-year advantage, but have we caught up? And the answer is yes, we are catching up.
Mm.
It's all to do with our beautiful soil and landscape and having the ocean nearby. And the other thing is that we don't have any rules with our winemaking, whereas they have millions of
millions
rules. They plant
exactly.
this here and that there, and they're hamstrung by rules, and we are
especially organic.
A fresh nation.
Organic's a whole nother level in France.
Another whole level of biodynamics and organics and that sort of thing. But we took 75 bottles of New Zealand wine to France and got experts over there to taste them, many of them for the first time. So that was very interesting. And then we've just done all of New Zealand from the top to the bottom and interviewed people. So, but it's not just dry ass wine film. It's about people and pioneering spirit and the Kiwi spirit and punching above our weight and all that stuff, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And so the southernmost vineyard is, isn't it near Dunedin, whereabouts we are?
The most what, southern?
Yeah.
Yes, yes. I think Two Paddocks, Sam Neill's, is probably one of the most southern. And when they planted, when Alan Brady planted Pinot Noir in that area, everyone said, you're mental, it will never grow.
I remember.
It's too cold, it's too dry, it's just stupid. And now, well, you know, they make the best Pinot Noir in the world, perhaps.
Sam Neill, he was one of the first people to buy into the vineyard market in Queenstown, and people did think that when he first started planting, which is probably about 89 or something, isn't it? If I remember correctly.
Yeah, well, Alan Brady was the mid-70s when no one had ever done it. That was particularly mental. So, Gibson Valley, all up through there. You know, who would look at Gibson Valley? It's that shaley rock with a big river going through. I mean, snow.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing, isn't it? The whole, you know, the fact that we're producing wine in areas which have very harsh frosts is quite amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
For any
but now the new area is North Canterbury. That's becoming the big hot new area for Pinot and Chardonnay. The climate change. More south, you guys are in the prime position.
Yes, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, because it does seem like it's, you know, I mean, you can call it what you will, but yeah, it is definitely getting warmer here, so, you know, we're lucky, perhaps, by, you know, we won't be as hot as some of the more difficult to live places might be.
Yeah, well, there is a theory that places like Spain and Italy and Australia will be too hot to make any wine in some years, and Champagne is buying land in North England to grow champagne, so that's pretty radical. So it's all changing rapidly.
Yes.
Whether you deny it or not.
That's right, and interestingly enough, you know, my experience with working vineyards in Australia, a lot of vineyards in Australia are actually using Italian grapes, aren't they, rather than French?
Yes, they are, exactly, because they're better suited.
Yes, better suited to the conditions. Yes.
Yeah.
So we're not really in direct competition with Australia, even though people think we are. We're actually not in terms of
wines. No, we're not.
Wines.
We're not really. They do all the Syrahs and Shiraz, big fat Bordeaux blends, and we do a bit of that. Waiheke and Northland and Cleveland do a bit of that. But it's, the thrust for us really is Chardonnay. And I mean, Sauvignon Blanc, of course, is 85% of all plantings and all exports. But Chardonnay and Pinot are coming up behind, and they're going to be the high quality. So we want to go for high quality, not high quantity.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly. It is a key. I mean, I know. You know, over in Europe, you know, New Zealand wines are considered to be really high, and often on, you know, on lots of menus as a high wine.
So, yeah, they know.
Yeah,
they're just sold a bit cheap, really. I mean, yeah, you know, something like a Kiwi River Matty's Chardonnay, which is $70, is considered one of the best, you know, Chardonnays in the world. And that's what started the whole film. That won a blind tasting against several hundred euro white Burgundies, and that's how we started questioning the whole.
Is that on the East Cape of the North Island?
No, it's in the middle of West Auckland. It's the most unlikely place to grow Chardonnay. There's nothing about it that indicates Chardonnay would be good. It just is. And Michael Brakovich is a winemaker, and they've just nailed it. They're leading New Zealand up to the high echelons. It's all over the place.
I mean, I always think of, like, when I was in Europe, like Church Road was a quite high quality wine.
Yeah, those ones have all been bought by big places and are more bulk stuff. So the smaller vineyards that are concentrating on, you know, hand picking and all that sort of stuff, those are the ones that are getting.
I think we'll be quite good at that because I think when I used to handpick grapes, I found because I'm an ex-rugby player that I was squatting all the time with rugby, you know, that I found it really easy to pick grapes. So.
You're not delicate squash players to do that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Simon, do you have, I mean, well, obviously, you know, maybe you have a background in film, but do you also have an interest and or background in wine that led you to this
subject? Not really.
Subject?
No? I'm a semi-professional drinker. Dave Nash, my partner in crime, he was the wine guy. So he's the writer, and I was the producer. And because it's been 4 years in the making, we've just ended up sharing all aspects of it, but he knew. I've learned a hell of a lot on this journey. In fact, anyone viewing the film will also learn a hell of a lot. But I did know what I liked. I already liked Chardonnay, and I liked Pinot Noir, and I knew which. And Central Otago Pinot Noir is my favourite. Of all time,
out of all the wines in the world, is that your favourite tipple?
Well, I'd say it's hard to get past a Valley Pinot Noir. Central Otago, yeah. I mean, there's obviously Napa Valley's got some gorgeous ones, but the French ones, you see, can't afford them. You know, they're thousands of euros a bottle. That's the trouble. Burgundy's a very small area, and
that's right.
They're just all too expensive.
Exactly. Portugal, on the other hand, is always a good choice in Europe.
For different varietals, for sure. Probably a bit hot for some things, but we're spoiled here. I mean, we are spoiled, and as I say, when you compare price, you know, $30-$40 gets you a pretty bloody good Chardonnay, and $30-$50 gets you a pretty bloody good Pinot Noir these days, and that's very competitive.
Yeah, so
globally,
and if we're to produce like a Cabernet, a Sauvignon, or something like that, then we're having to import grapes, aren't we, largely from South America? Is that correct still?
No, I think we are growing enough of those things are just tiny parts of the market. Like I was hearing the other day that Riesling is like 0.9% of the market or something.
Yeah,
it's tiny. Those amounts are just, as I said, 85% is Sauvignon Blanc. So if you think that the 15% is all other varieties, you know what you're talking about. You think we have lots of Chardonnay and lots of Pinot and lots of other things, but it all only makes up that other 15%. So it's tiny numbers.
Yes, indeed. And so would you say our oldest grapes in New Zealand in 1978?
I think the oldest vineyards in New Zealand are about 45 years old. But see, France, they had a big plague of vineyards that went through the world. So they lost all of those at the turn of the century as well. So the French vineyards we went to, the vines are only probably 60 to 70 years. So they're only
that's 20 or
30 years older than us. But it just means they get down deeper and they get more into the minerals, and they become more complex. So it's just time, you know. Mm-hmm. In 20 years, we'll have caught up on the vineyard age, and that's probably the only difference at the moment.
Hmm. I remember I was in Martinborough, I guess it's called, north of Wellington, is
it?
Yeah.
Yep. And that's beautiful,
Oh, excuse me. And had a, we had a, I was with a friend, and well, I was with a friend whose new boyfriend was very into wine, so we went on a wine tour, something I had never done. And we had, you know, we were drinking lots of different wines, and at one point we were given a taste of one that would normally not have been part of the tours, but they just happened to have it open. And I think it was a $150 bottle of wine, but I can't remember. It was red, but I can't remember what it was. But when I tried it...
There are a few. I guess Escarpe has probably got a couple of Pinots up around that amount.
Larry,
he does some pretty nice stuff. Atarangi might have a few.
That sounds familiar.
Dry River. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Well, I ended up, you know, buying a few things to bring home. It's true, but I'm not wine oriented enough to remember most of the names, unfortunately.
Right.
But I do know that this wine, you know, the $150 bottle, which wasn't normally offered, it really was like, you know, I had a drink, and you know, the clouds parted and beams of light came down, and angels were singing, and really, it was amazing to me, because I just never tasted anything so good.
Yeah, the most expensive bottle of wine I've had is worth $100,000.
Oh my God!
Yeah, $100,000. That's in Auckland.
Jesus.
Yep.
That's
in a cellar in Auckland.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And you have it with Do you have it with soda?
I don't know. They had two bottles. I used one for their wedding actually. So I did try it at their wedding. So and then the other one is kept in storage.
Excuse me.
So. Yeah, it's amazing, right. Yeah, but they also have a vineyard, so, you know, explains the interest.
But just keeping it in storage isn't necessarily a good thing to do, right? I mean, they do
They do change, but if you know, if they don't have any light and they're cool and they're
stable,
actually positioned properly, you can't just, like, you know, put it on
the
shelf.
Cork's the big problem, you'll find. They have about a 40% fail of cork, so the longer you keep French corked wine, and their white wines go off after 5 or 6 years because corks let air in.
Yeah.
So with screw cap doesn't do that. So there's a huge debate.
And there's also the plastic. There's also the plastic corks now as well. Corks.
The problem with cork is its bark and its pores. And sometimes that air can make the wine better, and sometimes it makes it worse. And there's no way of knowing. It's just a lack of the gods. So New Zealand is trying to avoid that. We make it good and then seal it properly. That's it.
Yeah, exactly. I always sort of think screw top kind of cheapens it and culturally, for some reason.
Well, that is
what it sort of does because we're used to corks. But hold it just 1 second, sorry.
Yep.
And now would be a good time for me to cough if I had to, but now I don't.
Sorry about it. Carry on.
It's all right.
Yeah, so
we're talking about sealing bottles.
Sorry?
Oh, we were just talking about the screw cap.
And the corks. Yeah.
Versus corks, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. No, I thought we had one more thing that we were saying about that, but that's all right. So
in your movie, I want to talk to you more about your movie. So obviously, you know, we haven't seen it, but obviously you trekked over to Europe.
We just went to France for a couple of weeks and took 75 bottles just to get their feedback. And then I think we interviewed about 100 people. So there's actually very famous New Zealand winemakers that don't even get a line, or some people get one line. We were spoiled for choice.
Yeah.
And then the story sort of just evolves when you start cutting it. That's the beautiful thing about documentaries. You shoot the shit out of it and you start sifting, and the nuggets come through, and you start... story sort of appears.
Yes, definitely.
And we've got some funny characters. It's actually funny. It's not dry ass. It's engaging and a little bit tense. And it does all the right things. And we've been getting fantastic reactions. We had a great screening in Dunedin on Sunday night, and that was the end of just we've done Great. Auckland, Wellington, Christchurch, Needham, and now it's off into the little provinces. So if you get a chance to see it, keep an eye out. It might be at other little theatres over the next few months as well.
I was going to ask you whether it's going to be a major release or not, or whether it's going to be...
No, it won't be a major release, but we are probably going to do little targeted releases ourselves in wine areas, you know. Mm-hmm. I quite like the show in Cromwell, Queenstown, you know, Blenheim. There might be a few places like that. We might just try and go into a few days. Yeah, so keep an eye out on the...
Definitely.
We've got a Facebook page.
And Instagram.
And we'll be announcing any screenings on there, so people who are interested, check on that occasionally.
Well, that's very important, because, of course, is that a... Well, you as a film guy, what have you made before? Like, have you mostly made documentaries, or...?
I've made... my first documentary was about John Rowles, the New Zealand singer.
Oh, yeah?
It was called The Secret Life of John Rowles. That was about a 10-year project. That was quite fun.
Wow. My name's Cheryl Marie, so I was actually named after John Rowles.
Classic. Yeah.
I
met Cheryl.
And my name is Tanya. My name is Tanya, so people often sing that to me without me knowing, because, of course, I'm Canadian, so I didn't know the song, but... In fact, I don't think I've ever heard the real song. I've only heard people sing it to me. Isn't it?
You better Google it. Yeah, the famous John Hall song.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's a sister. Another sister.
Another sister.
Yeah, yeah.
Gosh.
And then I made a film with Neil Finn bringing over Radiohead and Wilco to do an album for... Oxfam to raise money, so we hung with them for about 6 weeks and shot all the writing of the songs and the rehearsals and then the concert, made that a feature film that got a release around the world.
Great.
And then I made a documentary about liloing down the Waikato River to write remedies for depression with a guy called Jimmy Hunt called A Bit Mental.
I remember that title.
Amazing.
Yeah, that must have been at one of the festivals here.
I made a feature film called The Catch, which was a comedy about cheating in a fishing contest. This is the fifth in a row.
Great.
Is it frustrating that it's often, you know, a bit difficult to get your films seen or screened, I guess, in Dunedin other than at festivals, really?
Well, we were just lucky. It's luck of the draw with the, you know, when you have a small Kiwi film and you're going to a theatre that's got only three screens or something, and they've got Star Wars and Avengers, they don't want to bump any of that for your little film. So it's luck of the draw, it's when you release. And when I released The Catch 2 years ago, it was at Christmas, there just happened to be this sort of empty month, and we got this beautiful 1 month. I think we had about 30 theatres through New Zealand, so we had this little opportunity to sneak it on. If it had been a month later or a month earlier, we wouldn't have been able to pull it off. But the film festival's been brilliant. That's the perfect vehicle for a film like ours, because it goes all through the country.
Yeah.
You guarantee big audiences. I mean, we had 2,000 people at the Civic Theatre in Auckland, you know.
Wow,
ridiculous.
That's good.
So you'd never get that really with a general release. It's been a great experience.
So, other than playing in cinemas, then is it likely, like, you know, somebody listening right now and thinking I want to see that, they'll have to wait a little bit, I guess. But is it ultimately going to be something available to buy or download?
Well, hopefully. We're off to the Vancouver Film Festival in about 3 weeks.
Oh, great!
And that's where we're hoping to set. So there, you hopefully find an agent who then goes out and does the Netflix-y, you know, Amazon trudge. And so that's where it will ultimately end up, I'd say, hopefully.
Right. Oh, that's really good, because I think people
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. I think people, well, I know my partner is an example of just this sort of person, but he would rather never go to an actual cinema. I mean, he loves watching stuff and does so, but he will only do it if it's available on his own little screen. He doesn't.
Fair enough. I think there's a lot of people like that.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Which is quite interesting, because, I mean, I love cinema. Oh, yeah, I love going to films because of all the sound and actually feeling like you're inside it.
Yeah, that's definitely.
Yeah. Well, some films are better on the big screen and some don't really need to be,
to be honest.
True.
Do you feel yours are sort of more, it's always good on the big screen, but
it's great to see it on the, big screen, because it's, these huge vistas of New Zealand and France.
Yeah,
so
which are beautiful places.
That's been great. But,
yeah.
It's, No, it works just well on the little screen, I think.
Yeah. Let's not get it too little. I have occasionally watched people watching things on their phones, and I'm like, get it real.
I know.
Man, that's just nuts.
Yeah.
People are just used to watching. People just watch anything anywhere these days, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the whole quality, you know. I mean, yeah,
I know.
Sound quality, visual quality, cinematography, it sort of gets lost in a small phone, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
Well, it's happened everywhere. I mean, you know, I'm the last generation of kids where buying our first proper stereo was the highlight of our youth. Now my daughters, you know, listen, they have a party and they're listening from bloody iPhone.
Yeah, that's like, isn't it incredible? I know, that's right. I've still got my first stereo, though.
First time you buy a proper amp with proper speakers.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially as a boy.
I could have bought a house with the money I spent on my first stereo. True story. Yeah.
Exactly. But that's gone. People don't seem to care. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
The audiophile thing's gone and maybe the visual thing's gone and...
Yeah, we're just bottom feeders, aren't we?
Yeah. Although maybe it's just as long as the content's engaging, it doesn't matter. Maybe that's positive.
Well, yeah, it is. I guess that's definitely one bar, you know, that you have to pass. But really,
on the other hand, perhaps particularly younger people, they're just used to grazing. They're visual grazers.
Yeah, but man, they're missing out. I mean, hopefully it means they've grazed occasionally in a proper cinema, and then they realize when they're looking at their phone that they're not really getting it. But, you know, it'll work for now because I'm on the bus, you know, that's all I can do.
Yeah. I don't know, it's odd. It's an odd new world we live in. But
We have to adapt, though, don't we? We have to adapt.
I guess.
We do. You can't fight it.
But I think most importantly, when viewing your film, probably people should try to have a glass of wine.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking before, yes.
Yeah, wherever you can get that.
Well, we had a wine tasting, actually, in Christchurch, and that was really good. So all 230 people came and got a bit tanked up before they went in, and that was... That was quite exciting.
Yeah, it'd be quite cool to watch it cabaret style in a way, wouldn't it?
It would.
Yeah, cabaret style with wine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, if you got to think about all the possible places where you could screen a film, or actually, hopefully, your agent, when you get them, they will, you know, be open to those kind of things too.
Well, that's what we are thinking about, doing some of these things in the future, possibly some. Screenings at vineyards and stuff. So that's another whole thing.
Yeah, especially Australia. I think, you know, Hunter Valley and Western Australia as well.
Australia might not want to see this film, to be honest.
I was going to say, what?
Is it defamatory against Australians?
Gosh. Sounds like we've lost.
It does. Simon. It sounds like Simon.
Might
has gone to have a wine for lunch.
Possibly. But thanks a lot to him. You know what's horrible? I can't remember his surname. Do you see it written anywhere? No. Okay. It might be in my phone.
It is in my phone, but I'll
come back with that in a minute. Do you want to play something, or do you have any music you're interested in?
Yeah, what have I got lined up? I have got Sandra Bell, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I hadn't seen the CD for a while, so I thought, I'd bring this in today. So this is White Nights by Sandra Bell.
Oh, great.
And the song I'm going to play is Wonderland.
Oh, great, okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, so that was Sandra Bell. This album here, White Nights, it came out in 2008, so that's 11 years old now, actually. So, yeah, Sandra has got more work out since then. So, yeah, check out Sandra Bell. And
Sandra's back with us. Yeah, yeah. I'm sliding away from the mic little by little because I'm on this chair with wheels, but it's not working very well for me. So anyway, what do you have? We got something else to play though, just till I get sorted?
Of course we have. Yeah, but I was going to talk about a little bit about I do need some time. I was going to talk a little bit about things we've been to in the week and
sure. Okay,
just a bit of a roundup. And
give me a minute to get in the chair properly.
We're so live, aren't we?
Yeah, I know. But yeah, do you want to just talk yourself or do you have something musically?
I'll just talk. Yeah? Yes, you can. Okay. Move yourself around.
All right, turn my mic.
Yep. So yeah. So I was going to talk about the exhibition out of Port Chalmers actually
PC.
Yeah, PC, which is PEA. So we've got Sarah Sharma out there at the moment. So we've got Sarah and Anna and also Prue. So yeah, it's a really good show out there. Highly recommend it. There's some good pieces to buy. It's a pretty eclectic take on friendship, actually, I'd say, because your mic's off.
It's all right if my mic's off.
No, so Prue Edge. So yeah, so what I mean, basically these guys, they started off with an empty workbook and then they just kept putting something in the workbook and then dropping it off into one of their mailboxes, and then someone else would add to it, and then, you know, they've got this whole body of work. So yeah, thoroughly recommend going to see that. What else have I been to this week? I've had a pretty quiet week, actually, in terms of doing things. I've been plumbing all weekend, which is very annoying and very distracting from what I was hoping to be doing. But
it's not that you can do it is good.
Yeah, I am lucky that I have the skills to do it. Yes, and just enough patience. Yeah. So, and also wanted to talk about who else? What have we got on tonight, Tanya? Can you come back on? So we got Eliana's doing, who we've had on the show. She's doing her readings tonight.
That's right,
at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, 6 o'clock at Olga Gallery in Moray Place.
Yes, yeah. And the other interesting concept, which is kind of in line with what I've been working on, but which is good, is it's going to be on at the art school tonight. What is it? I keep thinking it's called Piece of the Pie, but it's not. It's Open Sandwich, isn't it? Open Sandwich.
Open Sandwich. But it's, Open Sandwich. It's the group is ADA. What that is, I'm not.
It's digital. It's basically, you know, it's basically represents the southernmost digital area of swear words here from Tanya on here.
No, but you couldn't hear her because I'm too far away from my mic.
I heard.
Oh wow, sorry.
Okay. So basically that, yeah, this group of people is joining together tonight. So anyone's allowed to come. Sorry, a little bit distracted. But anyone's allowed to come, and if you've got any ideas or you know you want to talk about ideas and you want to come, so that's on it. I think that's on at 5:30.
Yeah, 5:30 to 7:30
at art school.
Yep, at the art school in the big, you know, like the gallery area there, I guess it's called.
So that's today.
Yeah.
And
so I don't have anything written down for tomorrow, but there is a German film festival this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, and actually even a little bit on Monday at the Dunedin Public Art Gallery, who we love. So I would think maybe best to look on the DPEG's website, because and then you'll find out the actual films that are being shown. And that's all I've got for what's coming up. Did we go? I don't think we did go. You know, we wanted to go to a Fringe Hui yesterday, but we didn't make it.
No, that's right. So I don't know how that went. Yeah. Yeah, but that was on last night, and that was basically to discuss, you know, the next Fringe.
Yeah.
And
talk about who's coming and who can do what. Yeah, so
that's right. And I think actually when I was talking on radio about the Fringe way back, the last Fringe Festival, when I was saying about how, you know, the whole thing about Fringe Festivals is just venues popping up left, right and centre throughout the festival, you know.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of overseas Fringe Festivals. And yeah, and then I got an email the other day from Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
Oh.
And their most unusual venue this year is a $1 shop.
Oh, right.
Which it's called something else, I can't remember the name of it in the UK.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
it's basically a $1 shop, so they, yeah, so they've got comedians,
well,
performing in the dollar shop.
Yeah, that sounds totally feasible, because you know, I'm thinking it's probably quite a big space, and if you just sort of push a few of the, you know, product,
it's kind of a big space. It's in the old town, so it's it's not
never
that big.
As big as you'd hope.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So,
wow. So they have dollar shops in the old town in Edinburgh. That just seems like such prime real estate. It would have to be. Well,
exactly. Yes, it is prime real estate.
Yeah, but dollar shops are usually pretty, you know, they don't have much dollars themselves, I would have thought.
That's the thing. I think they do.
Wow. Mystery.
Yeah.
Mystery. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the Edinburgh Festival is just about to start again. So
yeah. Yeah.
It's on now.
So it's sort of an end of summer thing over there. Then is it always around?
Yeah,
this
it's
time
a summer
year?
Thing. Yes. Yeah. It's always
but
August.
It's kind of end of summer, really.
Yeah, it is the end of summer. Beginning. Yeah, that's right. It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's sort of. It's. I mean, it is traditionally the warmest time of year.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's also in line with summer break as well.
Right.
You know, which we have as at Christmas. Time, well, you know, theirs is now.
And so, yeah, so I would have thought people would be heading back, you know, pretty soon. Is it like a 2-week long thing, the Edinburgh Fringe?
No, it was a month when I was there.
Oh, right. So there you go. So they are
It's pretty jam-packed.
Yeah, so they'll probably be running when people are going back to school. Still, because when do people go back? Beginning of September?
They don't go back till September. I think around the third week of September.
Oh, okay,
so
a bit later. Because we would normally, in Canada, beginning of September was the, you know, the time.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yes, most Northern Hemisphere schools go back in September, don't they?
Yeah, beginning of.
I think of Asia as well, China and Korea and all that. It's the beginning of the school year.
Yeah, I guess depending on what, you know, season you've just got out of. Do we always try to have summers off? Like, summer is the most sensible time to have your time off school.
Yes, it is, yeah. Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, it's genuinely summers all over the world.
Yeah, great. Well, not quite yet here. Let's keep our fingers crossed. Today is a beautiful day. A harbinger of things to come for spring, anyway. Yeah. So, anyway, have you got any?
I've got something else lined up.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Okay. Well, that'd be great.
I'll
what
just
is it?
Fire it off, and you can.
Oh, okay. We'll figure
you can
it
listen
out.
Listen, see. Oh. A bit of a muck up.
It's all right.
All right. Do you want to sit down? Just a bit.
Wahoo, we're back. Just, yeah, because, you know, that's how it happens sometimes. I was going to say badgered Barris. I like that word, badgered. But, you know, just because I didn't think we had anything much else to say at that moment, I said, what about the music? And she wasn't quite ready yet, which is my bad. So there you go. So what we heard was not what she intended. But that's okay. Well, we don't even know what it was, actually.
No, if it's right, it'll be a surprise.
It'll be a surprise later.
Yeah.
I don't know when. Anyway,
yes,
So,
what's on the agenda this week?
Well, nothing that I am aware of. I mean, remember, I was just looking in our books, and mine's just a big sea of white. So, yeah, I'm just hopefully gonna, you know, get some drugs that will make it easier for me to walk. And
yes, that's right. You've got that this week, haven't you?
Today. Yeah.
Today, yes, yeah.
Well, maybe. That's fingers crossed, anyway. Mm. And yeah, so, you know, if you see me, if you have any way to see a person that you only hear on the radio, but anyway, hopefully I'll be walking more or less normally. Because God knows, it's quite a good thing to be able to do. I mean, you know, lots of people don't, and that's fine as well, but I am used to it, I guess you could say. I'm actually remembering and fantasizing about walks that I've done in the past. I wouldn't have really ever described myself as a walker or a hiker. Mm-hmm. I would be much more inclined to, you know, have a camper van take me places or something like that. But now I'm nostalgic about walking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, walking and listening to music in your ears while you walk.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So, as you know, I'm always on my bike, so.
Oh, right. Does that mean you should or shouldn't listen? Probably shouldn't.
Oh, it just means I don't do that much walking.
Ah, okay. But do you listen to music when you're riding your bike?
No, I actually don't. Because
that's good. It's probably safer.
I mean, it's safer, but I actually, you know, I love hearing all the natural sounds.
Oh, true that.
Oh, like hearing all the insects and all the birds. And
it's true, because you miss that stuff if you're in the car.
All the smells are good on bikes.
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay, well, that's another thing I haven't done in a long time. But I have a bike. I just haven't used it lately. But, yeah, I just was noticing that you have a bunch of CDs that are as yet unwrapped.
Yeah,
I mean,
I
they're
do
not
have
new,
a couple
but
of unwrapped.
They're new to you. Yeah.
Yes, they're actually quite old, but they've been packed in storage. And
oh, and you just
I found them in my daughter's room, actually.
So she was curious, but she didn't open them either.
No, she hasn't opened them. No, she hasn't. So,
what is that?
That's the Eastern.
Oh, which, really?
I mean, this is quite...
I love the Eastern, and I've never seen that one.
It's 2014.
Yeah, so... It hasn't been put away for that long.
So maybe we'll open the Eastern.
Oh, please do, yeah.
Yeah, and then All Seeing Hand as well.
Oh, right. Well, okay. I think I prefer the Eastern right for the minute, just because I love Mr. McGrath.
Yes, actually that reminds me of a story, actually. Yes, because, one time the Eastern were, you know, playing in Port Chalmers.
Yeah.
And Adam was like, you know, he'd been playing, and then he got a bit drunk and all that sort of stuff, as you do sometimes. And then so then he was like walking around Port Chalmers late at night, thinking, "Oh my God, I've got like nowhere to stay."
Oh, and then he wasn't going to stay at Chuck's.
Ah, it wasn't then. And so he's walking around and he had nowhere to stay. And so he just like, so he sees this light on in this house.
Yeah.
And he thinks, I might just go into this house. And he wanders and asks him if he'd stay.
Yeah.
And so he goes into this house and, then he walks into the lounge and who should he see but a massive big picture of himself.
Oh my God.
On the lounge.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So,
Whose house was it?
I never asked him actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow. So they were pretty,
but anyway,
pretty happy
Port
to
Chalmers,
see him.
Adam McGrath story.
Yeah, yeah. But they must have been pretty happy to see him, the people.
Yes, yeah, of course. I'm sure they were.
That's so funny.
Yeah, it's so classic. So let's play a track here of Adam's.
Yeah.
Shall we play something that sounds like a kind of cowboy, potentially cowboy song?
Sure.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I'm practicing my counting on it.
Yes, good for you. I was just thinking about how Port is sort of maybe in some ways a little bit similar to Littleton, where he is from, because, you know, he would have felt comfortable in Port because, you know, of that connection, maybe.
Yeah, well, that's why I said like, he's from Littleton, but he's from the States originally.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
he's
yeah.
lived here for so long.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, that's right. He has lived here for ages, eh?
Yeah. All right, you're going to play.
Yeah, so going to play it.
Sitting right here on the east coast of the South Island of New Zealand. Looked out my window and I thought, well, maybe I'd found heaven. But the wind, it was just right and the sun, it was sitting high. And then I got a phone call, friends, well, it just about made me cry. I said, hey, you're in one of them American bands, have I got a show for you? I said, nah, we ain't American, but well, what would you like us to do? He said, oh, well, this is the big time. Well, at least big time for you. We're having a hoedown with cowboy hats, boots, western shirts. I said, you got any six shooters too? He didn't get it. Well, I told him, yeah, we got a banjo and one of them big old bull fiddles too. But we don't sing no cowboy songs. Well, it just ain't what we do. And I don't have any spurs nor one big old cowboy hat. Besides, all my heroes killed cowboys, Rip Fountain said there. I said, I'm just a humble folk singer, and my only goal in life is to tell a couple of stories, hopefully one or two you'll like. He said, yeah, I get it, you're an artist, well, you don't have to tell me so. The show will pay real good, maybe a couple of zeros. I said, yee-haw, here we go. I said, yee-haw, here we go. Well, a man has got to make a living in any way he can, especially when he spends his life looking out the window of a van. But it made me a little guilty, and that was the only way to feel. I said, it's $20 a song, bro, 50 if it's wagon wheel. Well, I guess nobody's interested in the stories lost in the Southern Alps. And I guess nobody cares about the metaphors locked in our local river mouths. Well, I'm just lonely out here, man, I'm just doing what I do. Yeah, I've been known to sing American songs, but some British ones too. And Australian, Irish, but mostly ones written here, about next door, down the road, around the way. It's only what I know, late great Joe Strummer told me to. Talks, you better listen. Well, he liked Elvis and Hank Williams, and I could not.
Take ORFM Dunedin with you wherever you go with podcasts and live streaming of premier local content. Download the Access Internet Radio app for free from Google Play and the Apple App Store.
This program was first broadcast on ORFM Dunedin and made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.